My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. And allow me to introduce four friends of mine who by now surely are friends of yours as well. John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. It's a kind of quiz. We do have marks and some sort of a scoring system, though I never quite mastered it myself. What matters, as the poet said, is not that you won or lost, but how you played the game. So, John, to begin the game with you, here's some glittering orchestral music. From which world does it come?
By Glazunov.
Yeah.
And it's The Seasons, a ballet.
Yes, the Bacchanal from The Seasons. It's a ballet, exactly. It's from the world of Russian ballet. Frank, another world altogether for you. Where would you place this, I wonder? Place that?
I myself, Steve, would place it in a manila envelope. marked music that I have never knowingly heard before, and music which I have no intention willingly of listening to again.
Well, I think John comes in at this point and enlightens you a bit. Do you know it, John?
I think it's by Frank Bridge.
No, but it's very, you're very much
a
in the right sort of world. Try another name. Of the same sort of period. This composer called it the last of my Irish music.
Would it be Charles Villiers Stanford?
No, it's the Garden of Fand.
Ah.
Bye.
Backs to the Land.
Yes.
Sir Arnold, did well, didn't I?
Sir Arnold Banks. The Garden of Fand, actually, Frank, is another name for the Atlantic Ocean. Ian, your question is soon over, but I think you'll know the answer. What begins like this? End like this.
Yes, that is the beginning and end of Mozart's Don Giovanni.
It is indeed. Dennis, your turn. The band of the Royal Marines, under the direction of Captain Terry Freestone, got rather bored with playing the stock samba tune, so they got Cy Payne to write Something Different. That was the title of the piece. But the arrangement began with three rejected old favourites. What were they, Dennis? On the Marines Go. Lovely, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, what were the pieces they said
well,
no
I got
to?
Tico Tico, yeah. Brazil,
yeah.
And that Cumba 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 Cumbanchero.
Yes, the old Cumbanchero.
Actually, Sy is a kind of behind-the-scenes character on this program because I get a lot of comic songs which I can evaluate the words, but I can never, I don't know what the tune is because I don't read music. And Sy is always the one I go to, and he sings the music to me. But he does a lot of this arranging for military bands. And he told
composing
me,
too, yes.
Yeah, and and composing. And he told me that he was taking a rehearsal of an arrangement of his for, well, not for that lot, I hasten to add. And he noticed that the tenor kept stopping. So during the next break, he said to one of the bandsmen, why did he keep stopping? And he said, because he can't actually play anything shorter than a quaver. So he said, well, wouldn't it be a good idea to replace him? And the chap said, not really, he's the sergeant major.
Oh, yes. Good story, isn't it? Miscellaneous musical matters. John. The Danish composer Tryth Augustsson flourished around the year 1600. Good. The Polish composer Wojciech Żywny, on the other hand, lived from 1756 to 1842. Who specifically comes between them? Augustsson and Żywny. Shall I spell the first one for
yes.
you?
Yes.
Double A-G-E-S-A-E-N.
A-G-E-N.
And the last one is Z-Y-W-N-Y.
Clever duck.
Well, probably Chrysler comes somewhere in the middle.
One of their wives came between.
Well, them. I mean, I can't deny that's true. The people who come between those composers are all the composers in Grove's Dictionary of Music and Musicians. Because
oh, very good.
Double A and Z, they're the first and last entries. Yeah. 20 volumes of Grove, and on each one it says X to Y, whatever it may be. There's one of them that says Spiridion to Tin Whistle.
Yes.
Like. And the lovely one is volume 2, Back to Bolivia.
Yeah.
Frank, I wonder if you can tell me which musician withdrew his application for a post on discovering that if he took it, he would be expected to marry his predecessor's daughter. Heck of a thought, isn't it?
Yeah, this was it was in Poland, and it was the Duke of Liechtenstein was the establishment, and he was a Kapellmeister. It was Heinz, somebody or other. And Heinz had his daughter. Heinz was extremely poor, and he couldn't afford to give his daughter a proper wedding. So he got the Duke to arrange for Abbe Liszt to marry his daughter. In the sense of a clergyman marrying him.
Yes.
So the condition was that the Abbey List had to marry his predecessors. What's your story?
I think that's acceptable because you made up a lovely story. It was actually, do you know, John, who it was?
It's familiar, but I can't place it.
I was in the same way.
Wasn't Elgar?
No, it was Buxter Hooder's daughter, and the man who wouldn't have the job to have to marry his daughter was J.S. Bach.
Yeah.
No. Bach, who wouldn't take on the organist job at Lübeck because he had to marry Buxter Hooder's daughter. One wonders what she looks like. Doesn't work. Ian, this is from a letter. See if you can put some sort of date to it. We stayed about an hour and heard the Tweedledum and Tweedledee of 10 musicians seated in a music gallery at the west end of the room. A date for that, maybe?
Well, Tweedledum and Tweedledee...
You're wrong.
In other words, it's not post Lewis Carroll.
No, it's pre.
It's pre. Yes, was that a sort of expression that people use? Just a sort of like an onomatopoeic thing.
A dictionary gives the author as John Byrom, 1692 to 1763, of that Tweedledum Tweedledee name. The occasion it was the Pump Room at Bath, and it was the Reverend John Penrose who went there in 1766. And describe those players.
I remember lying in hospital during the war and having the radio on and hearing the man say, "Tea time music today will come from the bathroom. Pump."
Dennis, a lady.
One of the happiest moments I had in hospital.
Dennis, a lady in Woodbridge, Suffolk, sent me a small ad from the Ipswich Star about a piano for sale. It reads, "Piano, good condition, tuned regularly with brass candlesticks." So, Dennis, apart from candlesticks, what two things does a piano tuner need in order to tune a piano properly?
He needs a piano.
Thank you.
And you should provide a cup of tea.
Yes, that's two. That's right. Yes,
and
you're
a
doing
strange
well.
Kind of spanner thing that they've got that they wiggle about.
Tuning
other
key.
Other than that, unless they have some weird implement you can't get in mail-order magazines.
Tuning fork.
Tuning fork would be handy, that's right. Also a thing that damps certain strings when you want to hear the
sponge,
others.
Sponge, a wet sponge.
And a good ear helps as well, I may say.
We have a very, very, very old upright piano in a sort of cottage in Norfolk, and it hadn't been tuned for about 30 years, and we found a dear old piano tuner. I think he's no longer alive, and he came in to tune the piano, and there was no sound in the room for half an hour, and we thought something awful has happened to him. And we went in, and he had taken the whole of the sort of guts out of it and switched the electric radiator on and had propped it up beside this, and he said, I can't tune this until I've warmed up your action.
Very sound, very sound. Good chap. Yeah. The first of the themes in my piano medley this week. Yeah. Well, first of them is only three notes and one chord long, but I don't think it'll cause any difficulty. Here we go, then, with, as usual, four tunes for each side to identify.
Particularly seamless one.
Seamless.
Yes, yes.
I like that word. Thank you. John, you would have got the first one.
I think I would. It's Tristan and Isolde.
Yes, from the Prelude. That's right.
Isolde.
And that merged into, Frank?
You're just too marvellous. Yes. Too marvellous. Words like
then we
insatiable.
Had...
Tell me, pretty maiden, are any more to whom?
I bet there are.
I was.
Did you get this next one, John?
Star of Eve.
No.
A stag is Eve. Not.
Oh, no. But Weber.
Weber. It comes from the Oberon overture by Weber.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
Then Dennis, I think, might have got...
I could... That's from Judy Garland's last film, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I could go on singing Hal Darlin's tune, yeah. And then...
Thank heaven for
little girls. That's right, yes. And then
Manhattan,
and finally
La da 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 day, all day.
It's not the title.
Lean In.
Lean In, yes, that's right.
What'd you say?
It's an interesting little musical fact that Dennis came across and told me about. At least it sounds musical. Dennis, can you tell us, please, what are piano glasses?
Yeah, piano glasses. I just stumbled across this. They are apparently the name given to glasses. Eyeglasses, you know, spectacles, which have just plain glass in them, you know, such as actors affect when they want to look intellectual.
Harold Lloyd, for instance.
Why piano?
Yeah. I don't know why they're called piano glasses, but apparently that is the trade name for...
I would have thought that the piano glasses were those which were in between distance tops of bifocals and close-up bottoms, because reading the piano music like looking at a word processor screen. It's just the wrong distance.
Yeah.
You're telling me.
They always used to say, take off your glasses. No, let down your head. You're beautiful.
Gee, you're beautiful. Ian, can you remind us of just the very first line of the song Down Below, please?
When you're working in the dark, down below.
Thank you.
All you want?
Thank you, yes, because I
have
a letter from Mr. George Ball of Leicester, who says that one whole week after hearing you sing that, Ian, the song was still going round and round and round in his head and showed no sign of ever going away.
Down and down.
What, he asks, is the cure? It's something that happens to all of us, a tune on the brain. Is there a cure? And for that matter, is there a name for the condition? Is there any cure for it? What do you do?
Well, sing another tune.
Yes.
I'm probably the wrong person to ask, because most of my professional career, I've wanted to get to the stage of the things I was going to sing, that I'd got them in there and was having them going over and over in the head. But I think one of the problems for people who get this is that there is, in musical dictionaries, you will find articles about musical memory, which even works when we are asleep. And if you're studying some music from the point of view of memorizing it, and the intervals are difficult, you'll find that you know it a bit better in the morning than you did the night before, because the subconscious has worked on it. So if you've got something into your head like that, it's probably going to be worse the next day.
When we finish these programs, I go home, we've had some Brahms and some Elgar and some Bach and so on, and I always find that all night long I'm singing to myself, I'm going back to Immersant. Immersant's the pub next door. Whatever was Dennis's song, that's the one.
There's a quotation about that. Edward Fitzgerald, who said that Champagne Charlie is fixed in his mind. He can't bear Mendelssohn, it's so water. But Champagne Charlie's really got a bit of go.
I think the French had this method of curing, if you have a tune running around in your head, the guillotine. it's just as difficult to get a thing out as to get it in. Wasn't there that intellectual discipline? I was associated with China for some reason, where you had to go into an empty room and for a half an hour not think of a white leopard.
If you're seriously, John had the answer straight away. If you've got a tune on the brain, think of another tune, and that'll drive it out. Hooray for Hollywood, Johnny Mercer once said in a song. Here are one or two Hollywood stars for you to identify. Though it's probably a good many years since you heard this particular lot. John, I could give you a one-word clue if you want it, but try first just to name this lady from her voice.
Would it be Our Lady of the Bananas?
Yes, my one-word clue was going to be bananas, that's right. Do you know her name?
Carmen Miranda.
Yes, Carmen Miranda. Frank, a name, please, from you.
Busy, 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 all day long I'm in a whirl. Busy, busy, till I'm dizzy, haven't half the wanking guy. Every morn I rise at dawn, take a shower, brush my hair, rush into my clothes like mad and run downstairs. Good morning there. Grab a cup of coffee quick, kiss my ma goodbye, and then, where's my hat and where's my coat? Quick or I'll be late again.
Got the name.
Sort of familiar. She was...
Molly
Pickham.
Molly Pickham, that's right, yes.
It's a Jewish theatre.
Busy, yes, exactly, in New York, yeah. Ian, singer, song title or composer, though all three would be nice.
Well, I can give you the singer, one of the heroines of my boyhood, Diana Durbin.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And the song is, I don't know the composer, but I think the song is Il Bacio,
sure,
the kiss.
By Arditi, yes.
Arditi, right. Well.
Dennis, just for once, rather an easy one for you, Dennis, just for once, I shall be watching your face keenly for any hint of emotion as you recognise the voice.
Yes, I find it unmistakable. That's Alice Faye,
yes.
who ravaged my youth.
You had her as a guest on a television program.
I did,
you danced with her. I never forgive you for
danced,
that.
Yeah, that was in a film called, because I learnt all her films by heart when I knew she was coming up, yeah. a programme called Stowaway with
Robert Young.
Shirley Temple was in there.
There's a musical problem that we may have tackled before. If we have, it's so long ago I've forgotten the answer. So let me ask again. Can you think of a suitable piece of music for a dentist to play in his surgery? Or in his waiting room, I don't know. And while you're thinking about it, I'll play a little tune.
Wider still and higher.
Anybody wish to cap that?
Or clown it?
I would say Basin Spit Blue.
I rather failed on this. I just thought if I get a pick out of you.
isn't there a folk song called Orally?
Orally, isn't there? Yeah. There's also from Porky and Bess, it takes a long pull to get there. I am still repeatedly being asked, do they know what the final songs are going to be? And so I say it yet again, the songs are planned, but they're not rehearsed. So more or less anything can happen. For instance, I'm about to give Frank Muir a four-bar intro to an old 1920 favourite called Whispering. Will he come in on cue? We shall find out.
Whispering while you cuddle near a mirror, whispering so no one can hear me. Each little whisper seems to cheer me. I know it's true, there is no one but you. Whispering, that's why you'll never leave me. Whispering, say that you believe me. Whisper and say that you believe me. Whisper that I love you too.
Known as the Berceuse de Jocelyn by Godard, but it's vocally more familiar as Angels Guard Thee, John.
Awake not yet from thy repose. A fair dream spirit hovers near you, weaving a web of gold and rose. Through dreamland's happy isles to bear thee. Sleep, love, it is not yet the dawn. Angels guard thee, sweet love.
Angels Guard Thee. Leighton and Johnston used to sing Dennis's song, which dates from the year 1926. It's about a friendly character called My Pal Harry.
He puts my girl on his knee and does my loving for me. My pal Harry. Oh, tell me, where could I find a better pal to be so kind and so loving to my gal? And every night when it's dark, he'll go and sit in the park with my Carrie. And the way he loves her there is really immense. I can watch his progress through a hole in the fence. Oh, Harry, my pal Harry, he's a wonderful pal to me.
Yeah. Ian and I between us would like to pay a little tribute to Henry Mancini. From me, The Days of Wine and Roses. And from my Huckleberry friend over there on the right, Moon River. Mancini music, we end my music. A few minutes ago, we had a final score showing the victory this week for Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in my music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkin.